tradie and you're good at karaoke. Call us now for tradieoke.
We got a lot of performances to get through, Fief. That's why we'll take a quick one out of the commercial break and then into some more in a few minutes.
Yes, we can't wait to hear you, tradies. Jake in Greensboro. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys.
Jake, now what trade are you?
Carpet Tyler. I called you guys up last week. Louis Armstrong, what a wonderful world.
Jake, you were brilliant. Now, Feb, you're not familiar with Louis Armstrong, but you nailed Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, but with a carpet tyler, what do you do?
I put squares together on a slab, that's it.
Oh, there that you easy. Go. So you don't like carpet?
Not carpet. Oh. Just carpet tiles.
Carpet tiles.
You thought he was a carpet layer and a tiler brought together.
Yeah, like
a
mix of both. I'm glad we got that.
Good share.
Okay, so Jake, you were outstanding last week as Louis Armstrong. What song are you going to sing?
I didn't think so.
Yeah, but do you know what my thing about? I don't think Feb's familiar with Louis, so I know who you were being.
Thank you, dear.
Who are you impersonating today?
Michael Jackson.
I know him.
Oh, here we go. This is the song he's going to do.
Oh,
it's Ben by the Jackson 5, going right back to pre-Michael. This is the Motown years. Have a listen. It's very emotional. No
more. Ben, this was Michael when he was about 12 years old.
Wow. Jeez, he was amazing, wasn't he?
That's a very young Michael Jackson.
He was the real standout, wasn't he?
He was a child. So, Jake, you're essentially singing a song once sung by a child. So we're looking forward to this impersonation. Off you go, Jake.
All right. There's most people would turn you away. I don't listen to a word they say. They don't feel what I do.
That's quite something.
Jake.
That's a really great
well
effort.
Done.
No,
the
thank
effort,
you.
But not only the effort, Jake, I appreciate your song choice. You're going outside the box. It's
there
very
goes.
Good.
Jake and Greensboro. Going to come back to some other performances. That sets the benchmark, doesn't it?
I
that really
brilliant.
Does. 13-10-60. Tradieoke rolls on.
Fifi, Feb and Byron. 101.9 The Fox.
If you're a tradie and you're good at karaoke, call us now for Tradieoke.
We just heard Jake the Carpet Tyler from Greensboro with an outstanding rendition of Michael Jackson's Ben. And we now have 10 beats from One Turner. 10 beats, you're back.
Yes, I am here to put on a clinic for you guys.
We love that. 10 beats so far, you're the only tradie we've got who's got his own stage name. So we're embracing that, 10 beats.
I like that.
It's great. Now, you are a plumber. What song 10 beats are you going to give us today?
Oh, I'll be singing Price Tag by Jesse J with a little bit of 10 beats on top.
Oh,
okay. So here's the track. Of course, the MC on this track originally was B.O.B. out of the ATL. So I don't know if he's going to do the rap part or who knows with this guy. 10 beats, the plumber from One Turner.
Good to go?
Yeah.
It's not about the money. We don't need your money. We just want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag. It ain't about the, cha-ching. It ain't about the, bling. Want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag. Oh, yeah. Here to spit for Fifi, Feb and Byron. Oh, my God. This is getting tiring. Trying to put on a good show for the crowd. I want to do my mama so very proud.
Well done.
That was original.
Fantastic.
Had a lot going
for it. You
put
effort into that. I mean, the effort going into this segment now, it's blowing my mind.
The name check.
I loved it. Well done. 10 beats. Luke Carpenter from Lang Warren. Hi, Luke.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Luke, what song are you going to give us today?
A bit of Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, and the flames went higher. And it burns. The ring of fire.
It's
got us up.
Fire. That's a great song.
It's a great song choice.
Might get a bit of a favourite tomorrow, I reckon.
Okay, Luke, off you go, Johnny Cash.
Here we go. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the taste of love is sweet.
Oh, he's still going.
When hearts like ours meet, I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Yes! Yep,
there we go.
Luke, that was extraordinary. He's you sounded just like Johnny.
Oh, thanks very much.
That was scary.
So good.
Thank you, Luke. There, that is a
tradie. I love that this is not just a singing contest. It's becoming somewhat of an impersonation contest, which I'm really enjoying.
The carpenter.
That voice,
yeah.
Yeah, it was great. We moved from carpentry guys to the world of chippies, and it seems as though we've got a regular duo calling.
We love this. And just Luke, if you're still listening, call in. Do more Johnny Cash songs. Evan and Denzel are back from Altona.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Now, what did you sing for us last time?
What did you sing? Elvis Presley.
Can't Fall in Love with You, which was beautiful. Now, what are you going with this morning, boys?
Jesse McCartney's Beautiful Soul.
The obvious choice.
you two are the best. Oh, okay, God, this is going to be brilliant. Okay, guys, take it away.
Ready? I don't want another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. You're the one I want to chase. You're the one I want to hold. I don't want to let a minute go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul.
Oh, whoa.
If I was a chippy working with these boys, I'd be getting them to pick me up every morning.
I know.
Imagine the sing-alongs in the traffic.
Thank you. That's all the way in Altona there, the two chippies. We've got one more, and this one's close to Fev's heart.
Yeah, Buckles from Belmont. Hi, Buckles.
G'day, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and I'm bloody excited, more excited than a tat to a bowl of whiskers, because Big Bobby Williams is coming to town this weekend.
Is this Craig McLaughlin?
Buckles, you're on fire. Mm. He is coming to town. He was here last weekend, actually, too.
No, down my neck of the woods, big G town, big Geelong. Go the Kappa.
Yeah.
This guy's...
So you're going to give us a bit of Robbie Buckles?
Oh, of course I am. You ready, guys?
Oh, this is the song he's going to sing. It means a lot to Fev, this one. It was his wedding waltz with Alex. A lot of love and affection. And, whether I'm right or wrong. Buckles, who even reset that Robbie's currently touring, which was very professional from Buckles.
Check it out at thefox.com.au. Now, guys, count me in.
What is going on?
You're a good radio announcer. Okay, Buckles, take it away.
I feel weak. There's an angel contemplate my face. And do you know the places where we go when the day ends? Cause I've been told, take it down, that salvation lets their wings unfold. Sing on, guys, in other words. So when I'm lying in my bed,
thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead.
I'm looking at angels instead.
And through it all, she offered me protection. A lot of love and affection.
I think that's it.
Whether I'm right or wrong. Okay.
Nice. Thank you, work, Feb. Buckles.
There we go. And that wraps up another edition of...
If you're a tradie and you're good at karaoke, call us now for tradie-oke.
Was Buckles from Belmont Barry Bissell, the former Fox FM announcer?
I don't know, but he was brilliant.
Well done. Good.
Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I think we all know, and look, we all love to some extent social media. Yes, it's changed, it's revolutionised our lives. We can contact, stay in touch with people and family and friends all over the world and get abreast of everything that's happening. I said abreast, did you like that?
Yep.
But social media can absolutely be damaging. And we often cover this off on the show and all the things that come with it, like bullying and online trolling and all the horrible things.
Stalking, yep.
Here's another thing. You can lose your job over social media. Now, you probably know the story at the moment about Victoria's Police Assistant Commissioner. So he's basically Victoria's top corruption investigator. He's the corruption investigator, Brett Guerin, and he's had to resign because there was an investigation into some vile Facebook posts which he was behind. So he's admitted to creating a Facebook account that posted really crude comments about former Chief Commissioner Christine Nixon. And
he's a troll.
Police. Yeah.
He's a bloody troll.
You'd think being the top cop and knowing how good his investigators are, that you wouldn't get a Facebook page and pretend to be someone else, because they're going to, if it's that bad, they're going to go down and they're going to find, and they're going to find who it is.
It's a good lesson for a lot of people, actually, Fev, because I find trolls.
It's the top cop.
Trolls cut loose, and then when you go for them, oh gosh, oh, I've been acknowledged or noticed. So, yeah, it's a good lesson. Absolutely. You can even be the top cop and forced to resign because of this behaviour. So that
and you think being the top cop boxer, you just sit her down and say, oh, this is what I thought, have a chat, because he's the top cop.
Yeah.
But no one's higher than him.
No, I know. I know. Do you know what it is?
You know what I mean? Like just front up.
Oh, I agree. You've got no reason to be sneaky and get on your keyboard.
No.
But it's a way, and we know this through all the online bullying and trolling, it's a way of doing it without having to be courageous enough to say it to someone's face.
Oh, yeah. He set up a fake account he was catfishing,
it's
cowardly,
basically. Cowardly and malicious. And it's a great lesson. And I don't think he's alone in that. We would love to hear from you. Not if you're a troll. No need to call. But have you been fired over social media in any way, shape or form? Because I think we all know the old telling your boss you're sick and then your friend puts up on Instagram a photo of you at a barbecue or a cricket. But it does. You can get fired over this. You know, I'm not going to talk about that one? I was just going to talk about a fellow radio announcer and decided I might not.
Oh, well, don't mention that particular person, but you could at least say that particular person posted some personal views on issues and would later be found out and fired.
Well, that's it. Actually, that is another one. You remember at the, I think it was, I'm going to...
Don't say the acronym.
I'm going to say one of the councils. I feel like it was the Yarra or the Darabin. I don't want to get them angry again. One of the councils...
We'll go with Darabin.
Okay, yeah, we don't mind then. One of those councils, remember, if you didn't share their views or somebody did post on Facebook how they felt about a political issue and they got fired.
Fired, bang, done.
Because of their political issues. So that could be another instance. Maybe you've got beliefs that somebody in your employment or your employer has decided, no, you can't work here anymore.
Well, who knows what we'll get. Did social media get you fired? Give us a call, 13 1060.
So point one, I've just jotted down to keep my job. Don't talk about work. What? And don't talk about people at work.
Well, okay. On social media.
Yeah, I should be right. If we stick to those points.
I mean, you'd be in trouble if the point was don't watch TV and film yourself on the couch.
Content.
13 1060 is the number. Did you get fired from your social media?
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Social media is great sometimes gets you fired. Victoria's Police Assistant Commissioner, our big corruption investigator, top corruption investigator, has had to...
He's a top corruptor.
Yes, correct. I like what you did there, Fev. He's resigned because he started a Facebook page that was trolling ex-police commissioners. And then did you see also last night the Liberal staffer who had to quit because they accidentally sent a meme making fun of Tony Abbott and Barnaby Joyce to a media email list.
Whoops.
And it was a photo of Barnaby looking quite dejected. And next to him is Tony Abbott looking at him. And the meme says, when you get into trouble in class and you sat next to the weird kid no one likes.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, it's funny in the world of memes,
poor
yes.
Poor Tony.
But some...
it's come from his own party.
Yeah.
And sent to the media. So that guy's gone.
Yeah.
he's out.
Just lost their job. What about, guys, who could forget that? You remember, it was about 5 years ago when I think she was a journo, left Africa and made a very insensitive joke And then remember when she landed in America 16 hours later and the whole world had, it had gone
viral.
That's
right. She'd been in a plane that time.
Yeah, and she'd made a sort of racially insensitive joke about being in Africa. And by the time she got off the plane, she was headline news around the world and lost her job.
Jeez.
It happens.
No Wi-Fi on that plane.
No. Oh. Aaron in West Meadows. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good. Aaron, did you lose your job because of social media?
No, my wife actually lost her job. So
what happened?
She had a Snapchat up. She put it on her story and said, "Oh, she can't be bothered with work today." And she went into work. The boss found out. Don't know if she seen it or someone from her work showed her. And yeah, pretty much told her not. You know, can't be bothered with work. Don't worry about coming back in. And it was just one of those days, you know.
Jeez, that's stiff.
That is harsh.
I reckon 80% of people driving into work now are going, oh, can't be bothered working today.
I know, and sometimes I bet they don't even really mean it.
It's just a thing.
It's just everybody just says they don't want to be at work.
At 6:10 this morning, we did a topic, Fev's over his new job at the footy show.
Anyway, we've got...
we've got Natalina in office. Hi, Natalina.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I love your name.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to read it,
Natalina.
But I didn't know how to.
It's Natalina.
I was going to say Nathalia, but no.
Now, what, did you lose your job over social media?
No, I used to work for a company and I was the manager and I actually busted one of my staff members through social media.
How did you do that?
So what happened was she told us during a blockout period for Christmas, because obviously we're in retail, that she couldn't work because she had a sick family member in New South Wales. And long story short, we actually, because we followed her through our business, through social media, we saw that she was posting that she was actually at a music festival.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That old one. See, social's going to find you out, isn't it?
It is.
I reckon you get one chance.
You do.
Apparently. If you go into a festival or go on the cricket or the footy, just one.
Yeah.
But if it happens again, because if they get away with one, they think they're going to get away with the second.
So you keep an eye on them.
Yeah, let that slip.
You'd put them, if you were the boss, you'd have them on your watch list.
Yeah, they'd be on my list.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
So yesterday, 6 p.m. last night in Fed Square, the big Owen Wilson wow moment.
Come on.
Happened. Now, we reported on this yesterday because a big Facebook campaign started to gather everybody at Fed Square at 6 p.m. to all say wow, like Owen Wilson. Now, if you're not familiar with Owen Wilson and his movies, here's a little example of the kind of wow that he delivers.
Wow.
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 So it sort of started off as a joke. So this Facebook page has exploded, and then Nick, who organised the event, said, why don't we all just get together and all say wow like Owen Wilson together? And then suddenly there were 13,000 people saying, yes, I'll attend. And you said on the show yesterday, Fev, you went, well, I'll go down. I'll check this out.
And on that, there was a good turnout, but there wasn't as many as what he said. So I said to Leon, let's go. I took the kids because I thought this would be great. And went, wow.
What a family event to all go and say wow together.
Yeah, because it's something different. It was a nice afternoon. It was a nice night. It was balmy.
Sure.
And,
okay.
Well, I just wanted to see the sort of types that would rock up to Fed Square because I had a bit of fun in Fed Square once upon a time.
I
just thought I'd go back to the scene of the crime and see. Okay, when I walked through that day, everyone went, wow.
I can't wait to hear this. So this was the big Owen Wilson wow event attended by Fev last night at Fed Square.
So I'm here walking along South Bank. We're heading down to Fed Square because a guy has had a Facebook page requesting everyone to come to Fed Square to do the Owen Wilson.
Wow.
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 We're about to find out what sort of people are getting there and how many people are actually going to turn up. I've got my girls with me. What do you reckon?
I don't even know what's happening.
Wow.
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 Hey, boys, are you all ready?
I'm all ready, mate. Been preparing.
Are we getting a group wow?
Are you going to be part of it?
Hey, I'm the host of this. Now, you all ready?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Mate, we've made the day. Big dog's in.
Wow.
Wow.
Right, I'm here with the organiser, Nick. Are you happy with the turnout? You said 5,000. I don't think there's 5,000 here, but you've got a few.
So, I'm ecstatic with the results so far. And look, if it didn't get to 5,000, that's fine. But the love and joy that I'm already seeing here, it's more than enough. And I hope we get a few more.
How's your wow going to go?
It's good. I've been practicing all day. I'll give you a taster.
Wow.
Very good. Now get this show on the road. I want to go home.
Yeah, right.
Wow, 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 wow.
What do you reckon, girls?
This is stupid.
I practiced my impression.
It's really weird.
It's a Monday night. We're all gathered out here to say one word, to be together in community spirit.
This bloke's having a lend of us, I think. Just a heads up, Faye from Byron.
I think that's really beautiful.
Spearing, I'm here.
Is everyone ready?
Yeah! Everyone's ready.
Wow.
Very creepy. I feel kind of weird and I feel kind of scared.
I can feel the wow.
I think it's time to go, kids. It's time to go.
Yeah,
let's go.
The kids were scared. No. Well done to... Was it Nick? Yeah?
It was Nick.
Well
done, Nick. What were the numbers?
There's maybe 300, 400.
That's not which bad. Which was a good effort,
but there was a lot of love. And when you go to something like that, like a gathering or a march, not everyone's happy. Everyone was happy. Everyone had their phones out. Everyone was laughing. There was a good feel and everyone went, wow.
So people have too much spare time.
People were going, more wows. And they did it again.
You can see it all on our Instagram.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Let's talk NASA from Married at First Sight last night. Not just his little meltdown over the bed that broke, the bed that was uncomfortable, and he wanted to sue the landlady.
I watched this for the first time last night.
Oh, did you? You not watched it all year?
No, I watched a replay yesterday because Alex tapes it because we watched Celebrity.
Yeah.
Oh my God, hooked.
Well, what was funny was when NASA revealed that he had never slept over at someone else's house.
And he's a 50-year-old man, by the way.
Yeah, that needs that context.
Here we go.
I'm way out of my comfort zone. I've never spent a week or a day even sleeping overnight at someone's house. So this is, for me, it's crazy.
What's NASA been doing?
Well... So he's 50.
Has he ever
been
married?
He's never slept over at someone's house. I don't know NASA's backstory.
Mm.
But it's interesting, Fev, because we hear that and we go, that is amazing. How do you get through 50 years and never, ever sleep at someone's house? Because, yeah, as you know, in dating, you're at some stage, you're staying at someone's house. But even with mates, you're staying at people's houses.
Yeah, I used to have sleepovers all the time when I was a kid.
See, it's funny you say that because I used to get scared of them. I always wanted to stay with my mum and dad. And I remember the number of times my parents were being called.
I could never pick that.
So what would happen was I'd say I'd stay at my friend's house and then at about 10 o'clock at night I'd go into their mum's room and go, I'm going to go home. Yeah. And then they'd have to call my mum or dad and they'd have to come and get me.
Was this at about 19 or?
No, this was as a kid.
Okay.
No, I love sleepovers now. I love sleepovers because...
Whoa.
No. What I mean is you get to stay in someone's bed,
yeah.
Use their kitchen, they make you food and don't clean up, don't do anything. That's great. It's like staying at a hotel. I'm a big fan of a sleepover. But 131060, do you not like staying at people's houses? And it could be just a thing. It's not personal. It's not you don't like your friends or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You just want to be in your own bed. Because I know lots of people have bed issues.
Sure.
Like, no, I can sleep anywhere.
Okay.
I can sleep on the ground. I can sleep on a couch. But I've got friends that will just say, no, that bed's uncomfortable. I'm not staying
here. Not doing it.
Does the D-man have a concierge at the front?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, there's also the world of Airbnb these days where you're just sleeping in strangers' beds all the time. They're making the bed for you in their house and you're sleeping in it.
I mean, it's disgusting when you sometimes really try to break down what might have happened on a bed.
Sure.
Like, that's disgusting.
That's a great point you put up. Everyone's like, oh, you go stay at a mate's house, go, oh, I don't want to sleep in his bed. It's disgusting. I'd rather sleep somewhere else. But I love staying at hotels and I'm tipping.
Ooh.
Well, at least you got fresh sheets.
Okay, good point.
But 131060, particularly in dating, like if you, maybe you're in a relationship and you've never stayed at your partner's house because you just don't do sleepovers.
131060, your call's next.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
NASA, not a fan of the sleepover on Married at First Sight. Never in his 50 years has he stayed at someone else's house.
I'm way out of my comfort zone. I've never spent a week or a day even sleeping overnight at someone's house. So this is, for me, it's just, it's crazy.
Like, put that in perspective. That's not a kid at school. No. That's not a girlfriend in your young dating years. That's never sleeping at someone else's house.
I just saw our good friend Husey's on the couch ready to come in because it's cheesy, cheesy. He was shocked.
Visually on his face, he's appalled.
Actually, I want to get Husey's opinion of this very soon. But we have said, you know, NASA may not be alone. There may be people that just have a thing. They don't like staying at other people's houses. Sarah from Sunbury. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Sarah. Now, is this a thing? Do you not like staying over at other people's houses?
Well, I'm the total opposite to you, Faith, because I, as a child, I was totally into it. But now that I'm getting older, I'm not okay with sleepovers at other people's houses. I think it's just a bit of an anxiety thing for me. I like to sort of be in my own bed because I know that, you know.
So you're the other way around, because FIFA's completely... How has it gone for you, FIFA, in your life?
When I was a kid, I would always get my friend's mum to ring mum or dad and get them to pick me up at about 10 p.m. because I'm not staying over.
But now,
I love sleeping over anywhere. But Sarah, get to the bottom of this. Is it that you... The anxiety. So it's not just that you like the comfort of your bed and all your, you know, toiletries in your house. You just... Yep. What's the anxiety?
I don't know. I just sort of feel like if I'm at home, you know, like there's nothing that can go wrong. I've got my own food in my pantry. I've got my own pillow with my bed sheets. I've got my partner. I've got my animals. I've got my TV in case I need it. And I feel like if I stay at other people's houses, I can't sort of do the things that might make myself feel better.
I actually hear you. I mean,
take your own pillow, wouldn't you? Hey, Sarah, do you...
You could bring the animals as well, yeah. I mean...
Sarah, when you stay at other people's houses, do you do what Faith did when she was a child? Do you ring mum and dad to pick you up?
No, I just totally avoid the situation altogether.
You know what? I'm with you, though, Sarah. There's nothing worse than when you stay somewhere and there's no TV.
You take your iPad.
Oh, you're right. These days you just have your iPad.
You know,
don't
both
you?
Of you, sleep professionals suggest you shouldn't sleep with a television, and this could be a massive part of your sleep problems.
I don't have a sleep problem.
Well,
I don't have a sleep problem.
You're watching television all night.
I sleep enough.
Keeps your brain stimulated through the night, Byron.
Sleep when you're dead.
Jess from Milburn.
Thanks, John Bon Jovi.
Hi, Jess.
Good morning, guys.
Jess, now how do you feel about sleepovers? Do you have them or are you against them?
I have been with my partner for 7 years. And I refuse to sleep at his house. I just can't do it.
Does he have a house that's suitable? Like, is it clean?
Yeah, it's clean. It's fine. But the other thing that makes it even worse for me is that he lives literally down the street from me. So my theory is, what's the point in sleeping in your bed when I can be in the comfort of my own?
That's very true.
My house is down.
But Jess, does it ever become an issue with the two of you? Like, does he ever go, hang on? You know, it's only fair. Now we stay at my house where I've got all my things.
Well, at the start it kind of was, but I was so persistent that I think he kind of got over it and he's like, I give up trying.
Why don't you just move into your house and sell his house?
I probably could, but that's not going to happen. I'd rather my...
Jess is the boss.
No, I hear you, Jess.
Jess is a boss.
But I get it. You want your own things and your own space, don't you?
You certainly do.
Just after Marriott First Sight, see you, champ, I'm going to bed. Just kicks him down the road.
Oh, it's a
Jess
choice.
Has got it, mate.
She's set.
Great setup.
That's that Timothy Burton, Helena Bonham Carter. Remember, they were neighbours. They were married. But had two separate houses.
Oh, that's great. That's actually, there's a lot to be said for that.
Alex would love to have me out in the granny flat.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Time for...
Husey Tuesday.
Yeah, still good. Still good. I mean, I thought you might have improved it a bit over the week, but I suppose that you can't improve perfection, can you?
No, you can't.
No, try. It's not worth trying.
Hey, Husey, and we've been busy. I mean, Fev last night had to go to Fed Square and hang out. You're probably aware of this. Owen Wilson had this. Owen had nothing to do with it. I should point that out. He's not part of it. But a guy planned for all these people to gather.
I heard it this morning. It was a great idea, Fev, and I was happy for you to be involved. And I'm really very happy about you dissing the amount of people who turned up. So, you know, I believe, did he really get 300 people there?
Yes.
That's an incredible achievement.
To do what? To do what, for those who weren't listening?
It was to, he just loves how Owen Wilson in every movie goes, wow.
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 Wow. Wow. So we got a gathering of all Melburnians. We went down to Fed Square, which is very iconic, and we all went, wow.
And now, you were saying you was hoping for 5,000, yes, but you ended up with 300. And that's, but that is the internet, isn't it? Where everyone in the world says they're going to go to something on the internet because they have to press a button. Mm. But do I actually turn up?
No, exactly. Well, I want people to think I've got a life, but I'm not going to go out and get a life.
Absolutely. I'm meant to have like 300,000 Facebook followers, and I'll tell them to go to an event. And how many people will turn up? Maybe 15? So to get 300 to go and say wow is bizarre, is I think a real achievement.
Well, but it got me there.
But you were on the wow bandwagon many, many years ago. I mean, I distinctly remember you and the great Nathan Buckley hanging out at.
Are we going to do this again?
Well, because of the wow thing.
It's topical.
It is topical.
I had a big night.
You'd had a big night about what 12 years ago on the radio show. I used to do on another network. Bucks was our man. Anyway, we put you both on the radio. Here we go. We've got Brendan Favola on the phone who's going to give Brendan's going to give you a little bit of advice, Nathan, on how to deal with the disappointment of your end of your season.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Tell Maxwell Nix.
Brendan, wow.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Do you know where we're at?
No.
We're nowhere.
I'm so wise.
And there's a lot of wow work in there.
End of your season.
Here we go.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Brendan, wow.
And little do people know, Dave, that our team, who I played for.
The Blues.
The Blues. We'd finished about 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah, we had.
So it'd been a long couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I love it. Neither won the premiership, so why not finish 3 weeks early and have a three-week bender?
Why not?
I know you also had a bone to pick with Fev on another matter. Because he's now one of the newest employees on the Footy Show, or not?
Yes, he is, absolutely. And you're going to be great in the Footy Show. There's no doubt about that. But I was there for 3 years, and when I opened the paper yesterday and saw that you'd been on Sam Newman's boat, not once in 3 years was I invited on Sam's boat.
Well, I'd been on the Footy Show for probably 7 years previous to that before they sacked me.
Yeah, well, they did sack you because of another wow moment.
So I'm all that was a wow.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Can't wait for tonight. Hughesy, we have a problem. 8:30, Channel 10, ratings blockbuster.
Well, it's going okay.
Critical acclaim.
Critical acclaim. It's getting critical acclaim, which is, for me, is probably a first, actually.
But a couple of things we need to talk about tonight. You've got Ita on the show.
Yeah.
Ita Buttrose.
The legend that is Ita Buttrose. She's on the show because she's angry that I'm doing an agony uncle type show, and she does that on Studio 10. So she comes on and delivers. She throws in some truth bombs. So, yeah.
Does Denise make an appearance?
No, Denise hasn't made an appearance, and I can't discuss it with them. I tried the other day to do a Brussels sprouts or like a joke on Studio 10 and got nothing. It's like my microphone wasn't working. I'm thinking it must be just, you can't even mention it apparently.
Wow.
It's a great feud though. When you're feuding over a thrown Brussels sprout.
But that's the Ita Ding Dong feud over the Brussels sprout.
Yeah, apparently, is it Denise threw the Ding Dong threw a Brussels sprout at Ita?
Allegedly.
And I don't mind that because who eats Brussels sprouts?
I hate Brussels sprouts.
They're
great.
Worst.
Hang on.
Oh, they're disgusting.
If I fried them for you with some parmesan and bacon, you would love them.
Mate, you could deep fry them in batter and I still wouldn't.
You could put them in Nutella and I still wouldn't eat them. Mate, when I was a child with the Brussels sprouts, usually, I used to love mashed potato. It was my favourite thing. So when Mum cooked Brussels sprouts, I'd always say I was full and I'd leave my potato.
Yeah, right.
Because she knows that I'm full if I didn't eat my potato because it's my favourite thing. And I'd stick the Brussels sprouts under the potato.
But you still wouldn't eat the potato. You'd have to not eat it.
I'd say, "Oh, Mum, I'm so full." She'd go, "Oh, no worries. At least you ate your Brussels sprouts."
They're disgusting. I agree. They should be banned. Yeah, should be outlawed. Smoking. Should not be allowed to eat Brussels sprouts.
Or we just give them to Denise.
Well, is that when she'll throw them at Ita? Yeah. No, we love Ita. So she's on the show tonight. And she reads out some really hurtful emails about me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people can be hurtful, honestly. And I'm sick to death of people saying things, assuming that I'm on the same page of them as how I look. Do you know what I mean? I had a guy the other day at Qantasland say, "You look how I feel." I felt like saying, "Well, have you just dropped a pill, mate?" Because Because I feel I look fantastic, you know. So, but if that's sort of, it's just don't assume that I'm on the same.
Well, you've had a haircut. You look great.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
On the sides there.
So, Fev, you look great. Hey, I complimented
sensitive.
You on.
He's sensitive, Fev.
He is, but what about when I complimented you on your shirt and he asked if that was for your son?
Yeah, that's hurtful.
It was a little hurtful.
That was hurtful.
I didn't like that
no
at all.
No doubt about it.
That's tonight. Husey, we have a problem, which continues 8:30 on Channel 10. We love Husey Tuesdays. Thanks for being part of it, mate.
I love being here, guys.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Fev, you know this. Now, listen, you and I are no strangers to having our lives written about in magazines. And you know, we can go through phases where we go, oh, gosh, the magazines are out. What have they written? What's story? How many times have I been pregnant in the last 4 weeks?
I'm very litigious, so be very careful.
Yeah, I'm getting litigious too. Mm. But I won't lie, flicking through this week's magazines, I'm finally just relieved because I was really nervous that a photo was out there that I maybe didn't want to be out there. Remember not long ago when I went down to Phillip Island?
Oh, yes.
So
I thought it was about
took the kids
else.
You love
down
it down
to
there.
Phillip. Oh, no, not that. No, went down to Phillip Island. Yeah, where I grew up, all my summer holidays, thought I'd take Trixie down there, and Trixie and I were down on the front beach down there at Cowes. And it's a beautiful spot.
Trixie's, it is a beautiful spot.
Oh, it's divine. I love Cowes. And up there on the swings, and then we'd go down to the foreshore, and there was little kids playing, and there's shallow water, and Trixie's having a ball. Anyway, Trixie needed to go to the toilet.
Oh.
And I was in a particularly lazy mood because if you're familiar with Cowes, from the front beach, you've got to walk all the way up this hill to go to the public toilets. And I had that moment where I went, hey, it's okay to go behind a tree. So I grabbed Trix and I said, come up here, sweetheart. And this is where I realised my daughter is far more sophisticated than me because we went behind this bush. And I was like, okay, sweetie, so what you're going to do is you're going to take your bathers down. And she said, Mummy, I'm not doing that. She just refused to do it.
I have standards, Mum.
But then I thought, okay, I'll just show her. It's okay. You can go behind a tree.
What?
Sorry, hang on a second.
So it was like a bush. There was no one around. Anyway, so I just showed her. I said, see, you can do this. Oh, my gosh, should I regret what I'm saying?
No.
Is this illegal? No.
I think you could.
Okay, so anyway, I was need to go to the toilet too, and I thought, okay, well, I'll do it. I'll squat and I'll do it. Anyway, and I was sort of doing it, and then I sort of looked behind me, and I thought there was that scrub all around me, but there was an area where there was absolute view, bird's eye view of what was going on here. And I just panicked. I went for a split second. I thought, if there was a camera, I am in all sorts here.
There's a few headlines there.
Maybe what I did.
I've got a loss, so I could go, the kiddies are in the car. Now, parenting 101 boxy.
Now that if there was a pat that got that shot, they would have sold it by now. I mean, that's semi-nudity, isn't it, out in public?
Parenting 101, if anyone needs to go to the toilet, whether it's female, male, children, man, woman, you're at the ocean, bro.
No, not in the ocean.
What do you mean?
Well, you're squatting in a bush.
You're gonna kill some plants, but you go in the ocean. It's 70% of the world.
Through the scrub bit.
Okay.
We're in there. I'm not weeing where other people are swimming.
Oh, that'd be disgusting. Yeah.
What do you think's in the ocean?
Well, the fishies don't need that.
They wee and poo in there.
No, but they don't need yours or mine in there.
Where do you think the sewage goes?
It doesn't go in the ocean.
What?
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I think we can all empathise, sympathise and feel for any parents who are in a situation where they're dealing with children that have special needs.
Yes.
And I think we're all touched by this in some way. And the incredible job that parents do in that situation where your child might require more care and more help than other children, it's phenomenal. And you almost wish, and I hope one day there is actually a day to celebrate parents that, you know, when you think about how difficult it is bringing up a child as it is, and then you throw in other difficulties or special needs that need to be catered for, it's just mind-blowing how amazing these mums and dads are. A Brisbane mum, though, was very shocked to receive an anonymous letter from a neighbour, and I'm going to read it. And 131060, before I read it, if you're the parent of a child who has special needs and you've suffered ignorance from other people and you want to share that with us, 131060. Feel free to share your story, because this mum up in Brisbane, she's got an autistic son, and she received this letter in her mailbox, and anonymously, mind you, very brave and being facetious, very cowardly. The letter said, "When you moved in, we heard these strange moaning and shouting noises coming from your garden. And we were concerned they were illegal activities. So we went to the police. They informed us of your situation and that a person in your family is suffering from a mental illness. And that was the source of the noise." They then said, "I would kindly request that you consider your neighbours and try to limit the amount of time that is spent in the garden such that we do not have to listen to the disturbing noise daily. I am giving you the opportunity to help us live together in this community without it becoming a constant battle. If this continues at the regular intervals as it has been, I intend to make formal complaints."
Wow.
I mean, and I'm going to this Brisbane mum, and what an absolute, you know, wonderful one, Magenta Quinn. She wrote back, and I love her comeback. "Talking with the council won't help. He's not a dog. He's a person."
Unbelievable.
You know, it fascinates, because you know what the one thing is, and we have people, not just children, people in our community with special needs, and I think this is where we need to be a community, because, you know, and I find this, whenever you're somewhere, and whether it's a plane or in a confined space, and you can see people getting frustrated, because sometimes there are children, adults who might be making noises that, you know, you cannot know what's going on. But to stare and to complain, are you kidding me? This is where we become a compassionate community and we support each other. We don't dob our neighbours into the police.
Especially when the son or the daughter with the autism probably loves going out to the garden. That's
of
probably
course.
Loves going out there to play. And then the neighbour actually wrote, "So we can live together. Well, how about you go live a day in the shoes of the parents,
exactly.
Go next door, hang out for a day and see what they go through every day and how much that kid loves going out into the garden, and then coming back and see what you wrote in that letter." It's horrific.
Isn't it? And to suggest limit the time in the garden, what, lock the poor boy inside like a jail cell?
Well, I mean, hopefully the public pushback has helped the person that wrote the letter. I mean, hopefully it's helped that person change their viewpoint. They might be surprised that this has become such an issue.
Well, you're right. And I think 131060, this is a great opportunity to share maybe some similar stories, which is about spreading awareness. And I guess making people that are closed-minded thinking outside the square and actually putting themselves in other people's shoes.
Great. Plenty of calls coming through on this one.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I just read an anonymous letter that a lady, the mother of an autistic teenager, received from her neighbour, basically saying, could you please refrain from allowing your son into the backyard because he's making noises that aren't agreeable to us? And the suggestion that this poor mother who's already dealing with, you know, that's a difficult situation as it is. And the effort that parents, and we, you know, I'm saying this to any parents out there who are dealing with any children with special needs. I mean, you are absolute angels. And what you deal with every day, I mean, other people couldn't even relate to. Yep. And then to get an anonymous letter saying, hey, we don't like the noises your son's making. So insensitive and just the lack of...
Well, the least we could offer is patience. I mean, if those of us aren't affected in this way, we could at least offer some patience and understanding.
Think so.
And I think it's most kids. My kids go out in the backyard and they scream and run around and they carry on out the back like really bad.
Mm.
But that's during the day. They run around. That's what kids do.
Ridiculous.
You can't go writing letters. I'd find this...
And I think we would be
disgusting.
Surprised, and it's, well, I was almost nervous opening the phones on 131060 because I think we're going to hear more stories.
And the fact they put anonymous as well.
Well, it's just gutless, isn't it? Cowardly. But we're going to hear from other people who have children with special needs that don't get the support and deal with ignorance from other people. Now we've got Effie from Northcote. Hi, Effie.
Oh, hi, Fifi. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Thanks for calling, Effie. Can you relate to what this poor mum's had to go through?
Oh, look, firstly, Fifi, my heart goes out to that mum because I totally understand what she's going through, because I had my son. He's 11 now. Beautiful, beautiful boy. High-functioning autistic. Now, when he was four, he didn't get an invitation at four-year-old kinder, and he was the only one who did not get an invitation. And the mum didn't actually hold back. I didn't get a letter, Fifi, but I was approached by the mother saying, look, I've sent out invitations. Unfortunately, I'm not giving your son one. And I was shocked already, but her excuse was, or her reason behind it, was that
her concern was that his autism was going to rub off on her child and the other kids invited.
Oh, my God. Effie, as if it's contagious or something.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's what she thought. She thought it was contagious.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Effie, you know, I've got Trixie at four-year-old kinder, and already I go, oh, gosh, I hope she gets invited to parties. For you, Effie, to hear that, did you want to take your child out of the school? Did you, the kinder, that's a horrible place to have to put your child, isn't it?
It's absolutely horrible because then you get that paranoia as a parent with special needs, a child with special needs, you get that paranoia that everybody else is thinking the same thing. The other parents are thinking the same thing. Then you think that their kids are thinking the same thing because you know what? The child has been spoken to about autism or your child's behaviour or why your child is different. And that's the most frustrating part because the awareness is not there.
Of course. And that's the education, Effie. And look, I mean, we've only got so much time we can spend on this breakfast show every morning, so we're not necessarily here, you know, we're able to educate everybody on how they need to be tolerant other than to say, please, come on. We're not wanting to exclude children. That's heartbreaking. If there's any parent in the car right now that is thinking of not inviting a child to a children's birthday party, have a good look at yourself. Yeah, honestly.
Absolutely.
How could you possibly exclude a poor, beautiful child that's dealing with their own struggles? Just
no one here is thinking like that, that's for sure.
Rachel, thank you for that, Effie, by the way. Thank you for calling in. Rachel in Croydon. Hi, Rach.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Rachel, can you relate to this, that suffering the ignorance of people who don't understand what it's like to have children with special needs?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, I've got two, one high-functioning and one low-functioning. And when I used to take my low-functioning boy out, he'd have a lot of sensory overload. So we used to obviously go to Werribee Plaza to get him integrated into society and things like that. I used to get followed around at Werribee Plaza when he was having a meltdown by people telling me that all he needs is a good smack, I should beat him, and that his autism is fake and it's just an excuse for my really bad parenting.
Rach, that's horrific. And just for the listeners that don't understand, can you explain the difference between low and high autism?
Okay, so with my son, who's low functioning, he has a lot more issues in a sense of he can't tell you what's going on, so he uses something called echolalia to try and tell you what's happening in his body and what's happening. Like, he doesn't have the sensory input that he needs, which then causes him to explode into these massive, big screaming matches that people just assume tantrums.
Yeah.
Whereas my daughter can function in a school, like, you know, a lot of kids don't worry her, bright lights don't worry her. I mean, this is just for my kids. Obviously, it's all different for each child. One child with autism is one child with autism.
Well, Rachel, you're a beautiful mum, so you should never let people say any different.
Oh, thank you. You're going to make me cry.
It is, though, but right, the lack of education and lack of understanding. And I think just we need to remember that, Rach, you're a mum like Effie that are dealing with what you have to deal with anyway is enough. All you need is support. Don't need criticism. And
just
for children,
so
and we should remember last year, the middle of last year, we did have a big party at Margaret Court Arena, which was for Logan. And we invited all children who were being excluded and left out of parties and not didn't have any friends at school.
One of the great days, Boxy.
We filled an arena.
We filled an arena with a lot of children that had special needs and weren't necessarily understood by other children. And it was such a beautiful event and celebrated love. And we've got another caller on the line, Julie from Pakenham. Hi, Julie.
Hello. Hi, Fifi. I have a beautiful little boy called Tobias who's 10 years old, but unfortunately Tobias in 2007 when I was giving birth had a massive bleed and got stuck in my birth canal. He had shoulder dysplasia. He was transferred via chopper and put on life support from Gippsland, and we were asked to switch off the machines, whereas Tobias, the beautiful, strong little boy that he is, had other plans and he said, no, I'm not going anywhere, and he's now made it to 10. Tobias is a quadriplegic. He has understanding, but unfortunately he can only move his right arm. He's fully dependent on us for everything. Anyway, when I was in the country town, when he was little, I went out to a retail store and the lady I was going up to be served, and she said to me, "So don't you wish he died?"
Oh my God! Don't what do people think when they're
dead? Don't
what
they're
the
not.
Hell is going on?
We're surrounded by idiots. Like honestly, sick people.
Julie,
you know, for just anyone who's been on the journey of having a child and going through what you went through and the trauma of Tobias's birth, and then you got to a stage to be so proud of him, and you should be proud, Julie. You should be proud of yourself.
He's a beautiful little boy, and he's got lots of understanding, and everything that you put into him to make him comfortable, he responds to. He's so beautiful.
Well, you know what? Don't give in to it, because you're not part of me. If I want to slap that woman, but then you can't slap people these days.
No, you can't.
And you shouldn't do that. But that's what I want to do to that woman. But this is the thing: we have to rise above it, Julie. And you just keep going on being the beautiful mum that you are.
Yes, Jules.
With little Tobias. And you know what? We'll get through it, guys. We'll weed these people out, and
it's
we'll
unbelievable.
Get on with the job.
The ones at the plaza issuing advice to the other pet. I mean, who's doing that out loud? Unbelievable. And thanks for all your calls, everyone.
Thanks, Jules.
We appreciate that.